we had our children. It was about a year and a half later we had our first child, and 4 years later we had our second one. I have two girls, and I wanted them to be brought up in the church. And I had been wanting to go to church during this time, but my husband would not go to church. He would actually take the Bible and tear out pages and throw them and say, if you go to church, I'm leaving. Well, I would take the kids to church, and I would come back, and then I'd go pick them up. And I'd pray, Lord, I made my bed here, and I know you're able to answer prayer. So all I did was live the life in front of him. And I prayed, because you couldn't talk to him. I knew I couldn't. Young people, it's so important to pray before you get married and to know the will of the Lord, to know who your mate is to be. I don't know, Gordy might have been my mate that is supposed to be all the way around because it's turned out wonderful. But anyway, it was 13 years later before he was... But praise the Lord, he came in, and I will let him tell you how he was saved, because it was miraculous, because he would not go to church. It was through a witness and the word of the Lord. I'm going to sing now, It Took a Miracle. Cancer, melanoma, and the fourth stage, which is supposed to be rightly through your whole body, and you are given just so long to live. Well, we went to the doctor, and we had the biopsy done, then we went into the hospital, and I had the surgery done. But before the doctors, they kept asking me to, Gordy and I had prayed, and we had asked the Lord to completely heal me. And they had wanted me to have the cobalt and the chemotherapy, and I told them, no, I was healed. I did not need the cobalt. Well, we had about four different doctors coming in and saying, sign these papers, because we can't do that unless we have these papers signed. And I said, I will not sign the papers. So anyway, we had the surgery because they wanted to go in and check the nodes to make sure that it wasn't in there. took the notes, and praise God, I had no trace of cancer whatsoever. I was completely healed. You'll notice my one leg is bigger than the other, but that's because they took the nodes out, and I'm still alive, and I do not have cancer in my system at all. And I just thank Him for that. Can you turn on the next page now? It's because of who you are. You spoke the words and all the world came into order. You waved your hands and planted. Inside the garden, and all they found contentment in your eyes. Oh Lord, I stand amazed at the wonder of your deed, and yet a greater wonder brings me to my knees. For all the mighty things that you have done, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. You're all the reason that I need to voice my praise because of who you are. One holy night you brought your promise from a virgin, and from a true heart you revealed to hush your heart. Enduring love displayed throughout His crucifixion, and in the dark He tore the grave and death apart. Lord, I stand amazed at the wonder of your deed, and yet a greater wonder brings me to my knees. Lord, I praise you because of who you are, not just for all the mighty things that you have done. Lord, I worship of who you are. You're all the reason that I need to voice my praise because of who you are. Because of who you are. Not just for all the mighty things that you have done. Lord, I worship you.
To join that church.
Amen. We'll take it.
And I said, honey, when I get through him tonight, he might not be in the pulpit no more. No, all joking aside. All joking aside, I'm really happy for Al. I tell you, he's been, I can't explain it, the joy in my heart, to see the things in the distance that he's went since then. You know, I grew up as a young Catholic boy in the Catholic Church. And my dad was a Catholic, my mother was Lutheran, so I grew up, went to Catholic, got catechism, went, got confirmed the Catholic Church. I come home about 13, you know, that says, well, you got enough religion now. That's it. So my mother took over. Oh, no, you're going to the Lutheran Church now. So I went to the Lutheran Church. You know, all this time, you know, I'm not saying that they didn't preach salvation there, but I didn't hear it. Anyway, I'm like, hell, I didn't hear nothing, you know. Good time. So then time rolled by, and finally the Second World War came, and I had to go to that, and gotten a few binds over there in the foxholes, you know. Oh, Lord, get me out of this one. I'll live for you. Well, I never did. Well, anyway, finally, like Bev says, finally we got married. And about 13 years in hell, I think Bev lived the first 13 years of my life, you know, after I got saved. I mean, before I got saved. I was the kind of guy, you know, I'd come home and Bev say, don't you fear God? What do I want to fear God for? Right here. This guy's God in this house right here. Yeah. You know, just mean because you're in the world. You're hard. You just mean, you know. And I got running around and drinking and gambling and racing cars and going here, going there, you know. To me, the guys were the thing. You know, I got married, great, I got a wife, I got a couple of kids. But the guys, man, I got to stay with the guys, man. We're going down the bar, we're going here, we're going there. The guys are the number one, you know. The car and the guys, let's go. Bev would send me out, would you go down and get a loaf of bread? I wouldn't come home for 2 days. Meet the guys, stay drunk all night, and go over the next day again. Go back to work, come back home the next night. Well, anyway, then once in a while she'd go to church and take the kids, and I'd get upset, man. I mean, I'd get upset because, you know, like the Bible says, the things you loved before, you'll turn to hatred in your life. And the things you hated before, you turn to love in your life. Oh, I hated people that talked about the Bible or anything else. It just hated it. I just hated it. So she'd go to church, she'd come home, and I found she went to church. I'd go get drunk for a week. I wouldn't come home and go to work in between, you know, stay someplace else, just angry. I wasn't angry really at her, I was angry at God. But one thing led to another. I'd come home and she'd be reading the Bible or something. I'd pick that Bible up and I'd kick it across the room and swear and cuss. And, you know, just you're just mean when you're like that. So finally one day I'm going to work. And we're up and down in our marriage like this here, you know, like everybody else. And finally I'm going to work one day. And the guys I worked for, they had a lot of money. You know, they had... So each year we'd buy a new Cadillac, you know. He'd buy the one boss would buy one, the other boss would buy one. They'd include me in it. So I'd get a new Cadillac every year. We'd drive it 2 weeks before the new ones come out. I'd sell it. I'd buy it at a discount through a dealership. I'd get $400, see, and I'd have my new one ordered, see. So we was down the bar one night, down on Telegraph Road. We was in this bar, and I says to this one gentleman, I says, I think I'm going home. I've had about enough of this. About 5 when we quit, and I was down at 8 o'clock yet. I said, I think I'm going home. And this one gentleman that owned the shop says, well, I'll take my Cadillac. And I said, nah, I think I'm going to hitchhike. Hitchhike, you crazy? Nah, I'm going to hitchhike. God had a plan for it. So I got out there in the Telegraph, hitchhiking. Some guy picked me up in a big pickup truck. Big red pickup, big guy, probably about 250. Well-educated man, you know, because he run that construction company. Never seen him to this day. Well, anyway, we got talking about the Lord. He said, you know the Lord is your Savior. One thing led to another. Yeah, I know the Lord. On and on, you know. Hey, I know who Jesus is. You know, I wasn't stupid in that Catholic church, even the Lutheran church. I knew who Jesus was, and I knew he died on the cross. But I never figured he died for me, see?
Yeah.
So one thing led to another. So we drive about 30 miles, and he said, where do you want to get off? I said, hey, leave me off at this bar over here. I named the bar, and he went over and sat in the parking lot with me for about 30, 40 minutes, and talked some more about Jesus. So finally, give me this track. God, simple plan of salvation. So I took this track and I kind of thumbed through it. Now, that's really funny. Anyway, I put it in my pocket. I didn't throw it away. So we got leaving and I kind of laughed at him, you know. He said, where you go to church? And I told him, St. So-and-so, some Catholic church. He said, well, you know, I'd like to know if you really know Jesus. Yeah, I know who he is. And on and here we go again. We're just trying to avoid his question. So finally, I got out of there and got in the bar. Well, then the next 3 months went by. And the Holy Spirit started working. The Holy Spirit, I didn't know there was a guy existed in that name. But he started drawing me. And I mean, I come home and I got mean and mad and go to work. And I was mad at everybody. I was mad when I got home. Then during this time, during this 3 months, I took this track on there about a dozen times. All simple. God's simple plan of salvation. Well, it wasn't simple to me. I read it over and over and over. I still didn't understand it. So finally one day I says, I read this tract about 3 months later, and then we were about to break up. I had my suitcase packed. We were going out the door. We were, forget this marriage, man. I'm going to head out and have some good times yet. So I read this tract over again, and finally on my way to work that morning, I said, well, I'm going to find out if God's the guy he says he is. You know, I'm going to find out if this God is really what he says he is and what he can do. Well, anyway, on the way home, I told Aldous, I stopped on Telegraph Road. Got out right on the side of the road, opened my car door, had that Cadillac, got out, kneeled down right on the side of the road. Didn't know how to pray. Said, God, I'm going home right now. You can see me waving my hands. I'm going to find out if you're really true. So I did. I went home. Bev and the kids, the girls were kind of real small. I said, why don't you take the kids and go someplace and take a couple hours. Don't be in no hurry getting home. I didn't tell her what I was doing, see? So she left. Soon she left, closed on my knees. Took that track out. Got my Catholic Bible out. Got the Lutheran Bible that my mother gave me. Put them down there. Read the track numbers. They were the same. You know, a few dollars and those different. But it meant the same thing, that I had to be saved. So I got down and I read that. And the Father, you know, I drink. You know, I smoke. You know, I gamble. You know, I do things that I swear every other word out of your mouth when you're unsaved, you'd be running around in the bar smoking 3 or 4 cigarettes a day. I says, Father, I realize what this track says. Now, I wasn't just talking about Jesus yet. This is still beyond yet, you know. I says, I don't understand this. But I said, Father, if you're the God that you say you are, and you can give me victory over this drinking, this running around, and doing all the things I'm doing wrong, if you can give me victory, the God you say you are. So I did. I got down on my knees, and I got that track on. I repeated everything. When I got up, then I took them both Bibles, and I stood on them like this here. Stood on top of them Bibles with my feet. And I said, God, if now you see me, as this track says, and you ask, I said, and you come into my life. I didn't even ask Jesus into my life. I said, God, you come into my life. Well, we know God is Jesus. I said, you come in. I'm telling you, at that instant, I feel like somebody took 10 ton off my back,
yeah,
off my shoulder.
Amen.
It was gone. It was gone. Now, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I go into work the next morning. We had some picnic tables there, and all the guys would sit on the picnic tables, and I was really down the end. And I bowed down to say my prayers, and I looked up, and all these guys' mouths dropped open. You got religion. And it didn't take long. I got into the big bosses, you know. Here he comes on. Hey, Gordy, I hear you got religion. He says, you know, I ain't got no religion. I had religion. I had Catholic religion. No, I didn't say that to the other boss because he was a Catholic. This other kid was a Methodist. So I didn't say anything to him. I said, I had religion, Ed. I got salvation in God's Son.
Amen.
And he kind of looked at me. You know what he told me? He said, I'll give you 3 months. We'll be sitting back down to 99 together. I said, no way, Ed. I said, I got something different today. I got Jesus living in my heart.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I couldn't get enough of that Bible. I read it, I carried it to the doctors. I go to the grocery store, shopping, to going down the aisles like this, stumbling over, saying, reading that Bible. I didn't want to go to sleep at night because all I want to do is read that Bible.
Yeah.
Read that Bible. Oh, yeah, then I got into Revelation. Then Daniel in the end, if any of you know Jack Van Eppy, Dr. Raquel Van Eppy, they're good friends of ours. And I got into that Revelations, and I couldn't get out for about 2 years. That's all I was talking about, is Revelation, the end time. And I learned a lot about the end time. Well, anyway, about 3 days went by. Mind you, 3 days. Just got saved, 3 days. I'm down at work. Start talking to everybody about the Lord. Boston come out and told me, he said, hey, Gordy, shut it down, man. We're in here for doing some work, not talking about the Lord. Well, I can understand. He told me that a dozen times, but 3 days later, I didn't went to the Lord. You know, I just got saved. Don't know nothing. Don't even know how to lead them to the Lord, let alone I'm just going to tell my testimony. Well, anyway, 3 days later, I said, Lord, I ain't winning anybody. I don't understand this. So I, on my way home, now you figured after I got saved for one solid year, I never went to church. Never went no place to church. I'd come home and Bev had one of the big reel tapes like you hear, double reel job them. But I can't even remember what you call them. She taped Oliver Green from Greenville, South Carolina, and Theodore Rep in Lincoln, Nebraska, Back to the Bible Broad. She taped them too for me. And I'd come home in the evening, and I'd listen to them. And I'd listen to them over and over. Every day, new sermon. You know, listen to them over and over. And I was just unbound. Well, about 2 weeks, and I was growing more than most people were growing. And I was growing. I went home, like I said, that day. And I said, Lord, why can't I win anybody? And you know one of them verses Theodore Rep brought to me? Him that goeth forth weeping will surely come again, and rejoicing, bringing the sheaves with him. And I said, Father, I don't understand this. What are you talking about, weeping? Tears, creeping in people down that shop, he told me. You know, it didn't come out verbally, but that's what passed my mind. Pray for them people down the shop. I said, Father, I can't cry for them people. They ain't my brother. And yet, God put it there. I started crying for them people.
Yeah.
Many, many boxes of Kleenex I went through home. I would get up sometime 2 in the morning, bang on the, what's going on? I'd be up praying for the shop. Down on my knees praying for them. Well, 4 more days went by, and I won converts right there in the shop.
Amen.
And 2 guys right now.
Amen.
So then, a little time later, now we're getting a little part of the story Al was talking about. And I got talking to different guys in the shop. Gar was one of these guys who went to Michigan State University. He was a smart kid. He was no dummy. He was a smart, good-looking kid, you know. And he says to me, I'd go over and talk to him. There were 6 or 7 guys running these dual machines. And they were changing shifts. Al was about to come in the night shift. And I ran the day shift, and I was ready to go home. And I went over to some guys, and I said, Gar, would you like to accept my Jesus as Savior? Oh, he says, you crazy? But that time Al was coming to the door. And he said, you see that guy over there? He said, when you get him saved, then come and ask me. That's what he said, then I'll be ready for the safe. So I got down right on my knees, right there, like 1 foot down like this. And I put my hand in the air, and I said, Father, you know, I'm going to put for me. And I said, thank you. I got back up. I started off the door. And Al Buck kind of told me, remember that thing you sent me? I said, yeah, that track. He said, well, he said, I done what it said. Well, I said, according to the authority of God's word, you're saved. So I turned right around, so to speak, and went back and told him, I said, hey, you saved or whatever. He looks over, why, you know, definitely like this. I said, what do you want to see? God saved his soul.
Yeah.
What do you want to see? He said, I'll tell you what I want to see. I want to see that kid with a haircut. I want to see some new shirts on. I want to see some clean pants on. I want to see some new shoes on. And I done the same thing again. I got down on my knees. I said, I reached my hand to heaven. I said, Father, you heard me. Would you ask him about his prayer? Not mine. Would you ask him his prayer? Well, before I got up, I said, God, when do you want this to happen? He says, tomorrow. I said, Lord, we could do it by tomorrow. I thank you. Got back up.
Here comes the next night. We're ready to change shift.
We're all standing around, 20 or 30 of us, whatever's in there. Guess who comes through the door? Here comes Al. A new haircut. I mean, cut right down. New shirt, new pants, new shoes. My mouth dropped open. Here, Peter coming to the door. Let me in, you know, when you're knocking for praying for Peter. He could have knocked me over. He come through that. I couldn't believe it myself. Lord, I don't believe this. But he answers at the right time. I knew he was talking about that track. Why he set that track down for 2 weeks. God had a plan. He had a plan for that track. Had a plan for Al. Had a plan for Peter. All worked together. It took two.
Amen.
It took the right time to bring him into the kingdom. He wanted to witness to God. But anyway, the story of God. From what I hear, he left Michigan State University, got kicked out, he got on drugs heavy, got on cocaine, as far as I know, last I heard, he was gone. But I mean, he turned right around, you know, ridiculed Al at that time. He turned around 3 times worse than Al was, ever was, you know. But God being so good to us, then I turned around, you know, and I said, oh Lord, I gotta get more souls into the kingdom. One thing led to another. We hired a girl. Her and her husband was breaking up. And I went to her and I said, Virginia, do you know Christ as Savior? Oh, I accepted him when I was about 9, 10 years old. I said, was that right? And she said, would you answer one question for me, Virginia? And she says, yeah. I says, we had a shop right next to us, and the guy who owned that shop was running around with her, see? Well, though she was going for a divorce, he was running around with her. And I said, Virginia, if you're saved, what are you running around with her? She didn't know what to answer me. She kind of hee-hawed around me. I said, I don't think that's right if you're saved. Are you sure you're saved, Virginia? So one thing led to another, and time went by, and I finally really led her to the Lord, you know. She had one of these head knowledges, didn't get down here yet. So I said, Virginia, why don't you and your husband get back together? And she says, well, he just won't do it. I don't want to do it. One thing led to another. I'll tell you what to do, Virginia. You make an appointment. I talked to your husband. He was a big semi-truck driver, great big guy. Never met him, never seen him, didn't know what. All she said was a big guy. So I said, I'll tell you what, set me up an appointment and I'll go out and talk to him. So she said, okay. So she set me up an appointment to go and talk to the guy. So I went out there, it was about 35 miles. I got out there and I told him, I'll be there at 7 o'clock. He said, oh, I'll be home by 7. I said, okay. I got there about 10 to 7, pulling the driveway. Nobody around. What's going on here? So I wait 10 after 7. Hey, I passed the restroom down the road. About a half, 3/4 of a mile. I went and had a couple of coffee. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, no, you won't. You stay right here. Pray for that guy before you get here. Sort of speaking, you know. That's what the
flashed through my mind right now. So I sat there from 10 minutes to 7 till 9:15. Almost 2 hours. That plenty of time to pray for. I got to get him ready for the gospel. When he come through the door, then he come through. Now, he isn't living with his wife. He's got to cook his meal. I'm peeling potatoes with him there. He's frying it in the pan, getting ready. Well, then the moral of the story, 3:00 in the morning before I led him to the Lord. And I had to open that shop up at 6 again. 3:00 before I led him to the Lord. About a week went by. Called me up. He said, Lord, he said, Gordy, would you talk to a couple of guys for me? I said, yeah, okay. So I goes out to his house. I got a real small place. And everybody's sitting on the floor. I don't have no chairs. There's 3 or 4. Sitting all around the wall. All the way from 18 years old to 45. Some of them on drugs. Some of them getting divorced. And I said to him, I said, what am I supposed to do here? And she said, well, they want to ask you a lot of questions. Hey, great. Let's have them. And I said, well, you mind if I pray first? You know, ask God to give me wisdom. And all. I said, okay. So they all agreed. So anyway, I prayed. So I said, now you fire the question. And then where'd Cain get his wife? We weren't able to do this, and on and on and on. Why does God let sin happen? Why does, you know, why does this guy die? And on and on. Well, I answered the best one from the Bible. When I got all through, I said, God, now to myself, I said, Lord, let me bring some one or two into the kingdom. Out of them 15 people, I brought 14 into the kingdom that one night.
Amen.
And God gave me the opportunity. You know, and then later on, people would say, man, do you really believe that stuff? Well, one time we was going to this first church right after we got saved. I got saved and going to the church, and I gave her like $300 or $400 for the whole year. I gave $400. And man, I got home and I says, oh man, I said, I could put that to a boat, because I used to like water skiing. I said, I could have put that to a boat, and I could have bought me a half a decent boat with the boat I got. You know? And the first thing that passed my mind where I read where Paul says, God wants a cheerful giver. You know, I said, Lord, if you ain't going to cheer me up about giving, I ain't giving no more. And I didn't. I didn't give for almost 7 months. I didn't give one nickel to that church. 7 months later, give or take, 7 months later, that God burdened my heart in cheerfulness to give. We turned out, me and Bev together, from not from 400 to almost 14,000 that we give a year. And to this and to that. We took on, for a while there, we took on, what, 9 or 10 orphan kids that we took on from India, that we took on, besides the church. Then we took on Jack Van Impey, as I still support him today. We took on all, a number of missionaries, all took on Oliver Green, back to the Bible broadcast, and plus giving to the church. We're all doing this, yet God was meeting our needs. One time that ever went to a shop in 35 years and asked for a raise. From then on, some guys asked for a raise. I'll go to my father. Hey, Lord, I need some money.
Yeah, amen.
You know, then certain earthquakes would blow out someplace, and some missionary would eat something. We'd write a check for $1,000 and send it down. I'd go into work the next day, and they'd say, hey, what's in for another 50 a month extra? You know, adding on to my pay all the time. So, you know,
amen.
God works. God works. You just got to stand still and wait for Him. And wait for His movement. He's not going to jump out and tell you what to do. But all in all, you know, God is so... I can't explain it. You know, and I used to think, well, am I praying to? You know, and then I'd listen to Oliver Green, and he'd say, hey, if you ask the Lord in your heart over second time, I doubt if you're saved. I already asked 60 or 70 times in my heart. Every time I did something wrong, I was asking for forgiveness, because I didn't know that His grace, He saved me by grace. You know, I didn't understand all the saving business. You know, I learned all this as I went along. Then right after we got saved, probably 2 weeks, a month, sent Bev down to get a book on the promises. Promises of God. Well, she brought that book home, kept it about 3 days, and took it back. I didn't understand. I wasn't that far. I didn't understand that. Promises of God. Yet we start singing them songs of standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Then I started to realize, well, you know, it ain't what I say. It ain't this guy says. It ain't what that guy says.
Amen.
What does the Word say? Stand on that Word. So my dad wasn't saved. So I took a promise from my dad in that Bible. I took a promise. And I took it out, put it on the ground, stood on my feet again. Said, Lord, here's a promise from my dad. You're going to bring him into the kingdom. 11 years went by. I witnessed my dad. He wouldn't answer me yes, no, he wouldn't say nothing. He wouldn't talk one word about being saved or saved. 11 years went by, and finally I find out my dad passed away. I was so mad when I come out of that shop. I picked that Bible out of my front seat of my car and just threw it up against the building. About 40 or 40 sheets come out of that Bible. Picked it back up and threw it on the seat like this. Called God a liar. Swore in his face. Told him I didn't believe anything he said in that book.
I mean, I was just 11 years a Christian resident. I got in the car, I had to go get a haircut, and we had to go out of town for the funeral. I got to where the funeral was, and my mother had a smile. I said, walk to the door. And I said, what's up, Mom? She said, I led Daddy to the Lord 3 days ago. See, there was the promise, but I didn't believe. I believed it all that 11 years. Oh, God, you're going to save. Well, when it come right down, the rubber met the road, buddy. When I had to really find out, they found out he died. And I didn't lead him. Well, then he ain't saved, you know what I mean? But I found my mother led him to the Lord.
Yeah.
My dad used to come and visit with me and my wife and my other five brothers. There were six of us, and they were Catholics, most of them Lutherans, Catholics. And he spent some time with me, a month or two. And finally, I didn't find this out till after my dad died. He says, you know, Gordy, Dad would come to each one of our sons' house, and he'd watch them. My brothers would come home from Mass, and their wife, and get up the jug of wine and talk about all the neighbors and cut down everybody and his brother, say about half drunk, you know. And my Lutheran brothers were better than that. He says, you know, God, Daddy says to me one day, there's something different about Gordy there. And my mother says, you know what it is, Daddy? We got Jesus. And my dad said, I'd like to have that Jesus. And that's when my mother led him to the Lord. Plus many, many other experiences that guys that I led to the Lord, you know. Down there, it was only about 60 guys, 55, 60 guys. Well, we got a little higher than that after you left. You know what I mean? But out of the guys down that shop, God, when I came into that shop, there was another guy in there. He was a Baptist. But we used to go in the office after, and some have smoker movies, and we'd have a beer and whiskey and all that. He'd come in there with a smoking cigar, watching these movies, drinking booze. But he used to come to the Baptist, and after he'd go out to the restroom or something, the rest of us would say, man, if that's religion, I don't need any of that. You know, and that's what kind of turned me off in a sense of way in Baptist, you know. So one thing led to another. When I got saved, I don't think it was maybe a month later, God removed me, put it out, and put me in position. Well, during that time, I was in position anyway. And in 32 years, and I wasn't saved for the first quite a few years, God gave me the opportunity, 47 people in that shop to Christ.
Amen.
47 people in a small shop. Most big shops, if you get one out of every 1,000, you got a lot. He gave me the opportunity to lead 47 people to Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Al was asking me the other day, how many people do you think God has given you an opportunity to lead to the Lord through the years? And I used to go, like Al, you know, I'd go knocking on doors, pick a street, park my car, walk down 2-3 blocks, hit every door. I've had rifles in my face. I've had people tell me. You know, if I wasn't in it for the fun of it. If I didn't believe it, I'd have got out. Why should I give $15,000, $20,000 to the work of the Lord if I didn't believe this stuff myself?
Right.
I made up my mind. I made up my mind. Right after I got saved, I made up my mind. I listened to Daniel, a story on Daniel one time, where Daniel was took into captivity, and Daniel still bought 3 times a day. You know, and I made up my mind. Hey, if this God is the God he said he is, and he saved me, I'm going to live for him. I don't care what name. I'm going to live for him. And I did. That's why God knew my heart. In all the different things that happened in my life, I led guys that were in the Ku Klux Klan for 30, 40 years in the Klan and killed people. I led them to the Lord. I led the guy that was in Chicago, head of the Black Panthers in the 60s when that hippie was on, and he had power. You said, I, you died. You know, that's the way. He came in the Pontiac there, and I went. We knelt down right in a huge restaurant, a beautiful restaurant. He knelt down right there on the floor and asked Christ into his heart. People looking at us like we were crazy. You know, got back, went back home, and they tried it 3 different times. He resigned from the Black Panthers. But how God opens the door for us if we only listen and watch and keep our ears open for him. You know, when I left the Catholic Church, the reason I didn't go to church for a whole year, I didn't know where to go. Deb tried to get me to go to Christian Alliance. Well, I don't want to go to that church. And that's the real last place you want. Still, the old pride's still in you, even though you get saved, you know. I said, I don't want to go to that church. So one thing led to another. And I got reading the Bible. I'd go back to the Lutheran church. Oh, man, what in the Bible, what they were preaching wasn't it. So finally, I read that verse and it said, let every man be a liar and my word be true. It didn't take me long to realize either that church, that Catholic church, or that Lutheran church is right. And the word of God is wrong, or the word of God is right, and them churches are wrong. So I took the Bible and I stood on that thing, literally stood on that thing. I used to stand on it with my feet for promises. None of my brothers were saved. Today they're all saved. Mama, Dad is into the kingdom. Not a one. I went home and my one brother passed away and I had to let him to the Lord just before that. Went home and we got out there and there was about 60 or 70 relations out there all out in the yard. Couldn't get them all in the house. We got talking about the politics and religion, and finally my dad says to me, you know, I says, you got talking about religion. And my dad says, you mean to tell me, son, that my mother's in hell? I said, no, I didn't say that, Bob. I said, the Word of God says, he who has the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son of God hath not life. I said, now you tell me, did my grandma or your mother have the Son, or didn't she? He couldn't ask. What? You either got the or you ain't got life. You know, just going down the road and playing religion, playing going. When people ask me what religion, I look, I'm a Baptist. I'm for Jesus. I walk for Jesus. Me and Bev, we pray every day. We ride every day we go through when we move that big motor home down to the where we're going. Every town we pass through, we pray for revival. Every town, we don't miss a town. We pray God revive the pastors in that town. You know, it ain't so much what I can do. I can't do nothing. I couldn't win a soul. I can't win anybody if it wasn't for that precious Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That guides me and leads me and shows me how to do it, when to do it. You know, I had one guy in that where I used to, when I was in the First Baptist Church, I had one guy who was in a metal analysis for General Motors. He was about 175, 200,000 years. Had a big position, a lot of guys on him. He used to come, he had just the right lingo. He knew how to talk to people because he's head of a lot of outfits. He'd come to me with a whole bunch of surrounding. I don't know how you win anybody for Jesus the way you talk. I said, you know what, Fred? I never won a soul to Jesus, never will win a soul to Jesus. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm just a voice too. Maybe it ain't the best voice. Maybe I can't bring it exactly like Al does or other people do. But God, the Holy Spirit, knows my heart. And He's the one that draws you in. Just like when He drew me, I didn't understand what was happening. I used to go in the bars before I got saved. I'd walk through the door. I knew everybody because I was hanging around for years and years. I'd walk through the door and say, hey, everybody in here that's saved, give them a drink. Yeah? Throw them out. You know, I thought this was really funny. You know, crazy things you do. God the Father knows your heart. He knows what to do, when to do it. Just like I said, I got problems in my life. Yeah, I got two daughters, both married. Marriage is kind of on the rocks right there, but you got to pray. You can't talk to them. You know, one son-in-law is a doctor. The other one runs a big business in California. You know, hard people to talk to. Yet, God the Holy Spirit is going to bring them in at the right time. Just me just standing on your promises. I learned to stand on promises. You know, I had a kid in a shop, and he just didn't want to get saved. I said, what's the matter, Dick? He said, well, you know, I don't want to go to heaven. My wife and my kids go to hell. I said, I'll tell you what we do, Dick. We take a promise. Act 28. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. I said, we'll stand on that promise, Dick. He said, well, how do I know? It's God's word. It's yea and amen. It's yes and it's done. I said, God, you and your wife have already saved, and you are too. But you know it. So one thing led to another. 2 years I talked to him. Finally took him to a Van Empe meeting. Jack Van Empe meeting. We was about 30, 40 pews back. Big building. When Jack gave the invitation, he come right over to the pews. Didn't even go down there. Right over the pews. Over the pews. Couldn't get their front end fast enough. Got saved. Well, anyway, 6 months went by. His wife got saved. Another, kids were kind of small. Later on, both boys got saved. The whole family said, you got to be a deacon in that church, got to run in the bus ministry with us, the guy. Well, anyway, the day of graduation for his youngest son, some guy ran a pickup truck, ran across because he lived all the way. Killed him instantly. Killed his boy instantly. He didn't call his mother and dad. He called me. I said, what's the matter? You're crying and wanting to know. He said, Gordon, my son just got killed. He said, if you wouldn't have been worked with me so many years, so many of them years, you stayed on me, you stayed on me about Jesus. He says, I know where my boy is today. He's in heaven. That just blessed my heart. I couldn't answer him. I didn't know what to say. Then the same guy, later on, his mother and dad was getting old, didn't have much money and stuff like that. He came to me one day, he said, well, yeah, mama's getting up to age, my mother's got a lot of problems. My dad didn't get much money, man, he said, I'm going to see. I don't know what to do about the situation. I said, Dick, let's take a promise, Dad. He said, what do you mean? Let's take a promise. And get Dad get some money. So where'd you get it? I said, that is my, that's God's problem, not mine. So we took a promise again. We stood on that promise. About 3 years went by. Oh, once he comes in, he said, guess what? I said, what? He said, they're building a big silver mine in there. Bonnet Silver Dome. Where they play football and baseball. Great big one there in Bonnet. He said, they're building a silver dome. Let's take about 30 or 40 acres, the whole parking lot and everything. Guess what? His mother and dad own part of that parking lot. They bought the house, the property, the whole work. Got a tremendous amount of money out of him. I said, he already forgot about I said to him, I said, Dick, remember that joke for your mother and dad?
Yeah.
He says, that ain't going to be this. I said, Dick, you got to stand on your promises. Yeah. See, your marriage is failing, stand on a promise. You got financial problems, stand on a promise.
Yeah.
Get one and stand on it. God don't move if you're whimpering like here, like he says on James. If you're doubting, when you pray and you doubt, hey, he already, you know what your prayer is. He ain't going to answer it. You better stand with him. You know, he isn't the one. Yeah. Well, I wonder if it's going to happen. It's going to happen because it's yea and amen. Yeah. They know knows what God is. Like he said in one place, he stands his name, his word above his name. He stands for his word.
Yeah.
His word is yea and amen. It didn't take me long to learn that. Same thing with soul. It didn't take me long. What God you to do, do it. And right. He'll take care of it. It's not my job to take care of it. That crunch for gasoline in the 70s or when was that? I just bought a brand new Cadillac. And a couple of deacons come out and said, man, what are you going to do for gas now, Gordy? I said, hey, don't worry about it. That ain't my car anyway. It belongs to the Lord. I never had no problem with gas. So everything works well. But I thank Jesus for what he's done for me. And I thank Jesus more for Al than anybody. I tell you. And through that, even down the shop there, I led four other guys out of today on that shop. Some of them were in the liberal, that one guy went to Detroit Bible College, Christian teacher. I don't know where he went into the service after a while. I never got to check out the end of that. You know, but God uses you as the only faithful. You can't be wavering here and wavering there. Stand in the cave. We all got problems. I got lots of problems. But stand on any promises. Just stand on them. Say, Lord, here I am. Get your promises. Look through that book. There's a lot of promises in it. In fact, that Van Anthony was saying tonight, there's 300 or 400 something in the New Testament alone. That's 1,500 or 1,700 in the Old Testament. You know what caught me right off the bat? I read the second chapter of Proverbs, the first 10 verses. Go home sometimes, you see that. It's searching for God. Next door to a big empty field. And God says to me one day, hey, that was about $1 million buried off it. Gordon, it was yours. What would you do to get it up? I'd hire all the bulldozers in town to rip that up to get me that $10 million. He says to me in verses, if you search for me, like need silver and gold. I'll make my faith known to you. I'll bless you. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know, and we did. I took them verses and I literally stood on them verses. And said, God, this is it. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And he blessed me and dad in many, 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 many ways. I got some time. Bless you, kid. There's one blessing right there.
I want him to tell. Yeah, amen. He told me about, you know, he's a traveling evangelist now. He's retired and he got that motor home and they go all over the country in these RV parks. And you know, he's still a soul winner. I asked him the other day, I says, how many people do you think you've led to the Lord all through your whole Christian life? He said, I don't know, maybe 3,000. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, the Holy Spirit's doing it. You know, we understand that. But God's using them. Tell these folks about that RV park down in Texas where you worked that Bible study, got that Bible study built up.
We went into an RV park in McAllen, Texas. Far, just south of McAllen. Big park, beautiful park. Oh. Palm trees all through the park, a big place in the back of the rig farm. It was a big park, probably 1,200 RVs, and you got 2,400 people in that park. You got a lot of people in that park. Two or three swimming pools, anyway. We got in there and then the park, we were parked on hardly anybody in there. Very, very few, because we got in a little early in the year, in November, most of them don't come in until about December. So we got into that park, and I said to Ben, now let's see if there's a Bible place. And we checked it out and it Baptist. Preacher that was from Bibleville. Yeah, he came from Bible. He wasn't preaching in Bible. He lived in Bibleville. He'd come over and be our pastor. He preached in 14 or 17 in the Bible study. In about 40 in church. 17 in Bibleville, 40 in church, give or take. And I said to Benson, man, we gotta pray. We gotta wait for converse here. Forget this. I mean, it's part big as this, isn't it? I said, I'm gonna ride my bike. It was a long way around. And windy in Texas. No time you ever been down there. I'd ride my bike to the one corner way down the parkland and the motorhomes and the clubhouse there, and I'd get off my bike and raise my hands and I'd say, Father, you move these people in here. It's your word, not mine. I can't do nothing. You move them. Go to the next corner, do the same thing, all four corners. I'd ride that park 10 times like that. So finally, about a week of that went by, That's just the best thing. Man, we need some fellowship, boy. We need some, you know, Muslim people that are dancing and playing cards and you name it, anything but go to church. Most of them, we need some fellowship. Next morning we wake up, there's a big motorhome right alongside of me. And I get out the door and see, well, this guy, he's probably a boozer or a golfer or something, you know, he knows nothing about Jesus. I walked out the door, looked on the front of his motorhome. Hey, we love Jesus. Big sign on that thing. I almost fell over. I said, Lord, thank you. So anyway, we got pretty good friends. He's from Canada. We took me and him start riding that park together. Every corner, yeah. We raised our hands. Within 3 months, we were there. We built that Bible study up in the Holy Spirit. From 17, I think it was 150 or 200 that was in our Bible study. In the church, from 40 to almost 400 in there before we left.
Amen!
In 3 months. That's the Holy Spirit body. We didn't. I mean, Bob was just faithful. Wind, cold, rain, we got on our bikes and we rode it and we asked God, say, God, I can't do nothing. I'm nobody. I'm your servant. You hear your servant? Answer me, Lord. Bring these people into this place. And he did. They just come. The place was packed. Not even 5 feet. We had to move into another place to get the Bible study in here. But God worked if we only let him.
Amen!